of it in spite of. And even when I'm wrong, and even when I forget to pray, for some reason or another, he tends to favor me anyway. I don't know why, but let me testify. I don't mean to brag, and I don't want to make you mad. Even when I do wrong, he keeps blessing me right on. I don't halfway serve, and that's why I know I don't deserve. I don't know why he does it. I wish I understood. All I know is favor just ain't fair. But y'all know what?
Sure does feel good.
Can I get a witness in here tonight? Y'all help me say,
I don't know why
he favors me.
But let me testify.
He favors me.
I don't mean to brag.
And I really don't mean to make you mad.
He favors me.
He keeps blessing me right on.
I don't have way to serve him.
And I know that I don't deserve it.
I don't know why, y'all.
Lord, I wish I understood.
But all I know is favor.
All I know is
favor. Feel good.
And bud, you know what? We don't do anything to justify his favor. We don't sing well enough. We don't pray enough. He just gives it to
Damn.
Us. Tell him, say,
I don't deserve it.
He favors me.
No, I didn't earn it.
He favors me.
It's so goodness of my own.
He favors me.
The reason he love is still unknown.
He favors me.
If I could explain it,
he favors me.
Lord, I surely would.
He favors me.
All I know to say tonight,
he favors
God
me.
Has sure been good.
I don't even begin to try. Look at the homie overseas. That either could have been me.
I tend to complain about the place I live. But Lord, you always bless me to pay my bills. I don't know why you do it, but I just want to say thank you for blessing little old me.
Don't you deserve it? I said, I don't deserve it. I said, we don't deserve it.
But he still,
I said, we don't deserve it. I don't know why. Thank you, Lord. I don't know why, y'all. I sure don't know why. The Lord favor
me.
I don't know why. Can I testify? I don't mean to brag.
Oh, no.
And I don't want to make you mad. Blessing me right on.
I don't have a way to serve him.
And I know that I don't deserve it.
I don't know why now.
Lord, I wish I understood.
But
all I know is people just ain't fair. But it sure does
feel good.
Feel good.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody, 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Amen. Would you stand to your feet in honor of the word of the Lord? Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, how grateful we are this day for another expression of your love and demonstration of your grace and your mercy. And we just want to say thank you. You've been good to us. Better to us than we deserve you to be, but nevertheless, you have blessed us. And for that, we say thank you. Now, Lord, I pray you prepare our hearts, our minds, our spirit, that as we hear your word, we will give free course to the Holy Ghost to minister to us as he desires. Give us unstopped ears and give us clarity of sight, that we might see in the scripture the message you have for us today. And gracious God, we'll be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. It's a great day to be alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. If you'll turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Recorded are these words. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. For just a little while, I want to talk about the blessing is in the lesson. The blessing is in the lesson. So many times we expect the blessing to come after the lesson, but many of us miss sometime that God places the blessing right in the lesson. And it's not always about material things or material gain that do us the greatest good. One of the things that I love about Paul here as he speaks to the church at Philippi is he's making clear that he rejoices in verse 10 of their ability to support him in the work of the ministry again. And he's saying to them, he recognizes that they desire to support him, but they did not have opportunity. And by the word opportunity, it meant sufficient funds and or means to help him at the time they desired to help him. And times are like that. There are times when you really want to be a blessing, but you just ain't got it. Amen. I'm talking about the real believers now. I'm talking about those who really want to be a blessing because they understand that in being that blessing, that is going to go out and help and reach others, so much so that God receives the glory, they receive the good, but there is a corresponding blessing coming back in return. If you can't go do missions, you ought to help send those who can do missions. Support those who are working and doing the work of Christ. And so there is so much here in these verses that we have. But Paul is excited about that. But then he wants to make clear to them that he's not speaking in respect of want. In other words, he said, listen, I'm excited that you all have, you know, started your support again, and it's a wonderful thing, and I'm grateful to God for it. He said, but I don't want you to think that what I'm getting ready to tell you is because I want something else from you. Amen. It's amazing that when you talk about money, folks start acting funny. What, there you go again. What do you want now? He begging for this, begging for that. No, it's not about begging, and it's not about grasping and gaining for oneself. It's about unfolding principles that you can practice and profit from as God desires you to do. And so what he's making clear is that he's not speaking in respect of want. But there's two messages here, especially in this word want. He said, listen, I want to be clear about it. I'm not telling you this because I want you to do anything extra. Do anything else. What you're doing is fine. But there is another thing that he's saying. He's saying also that I'm not speaking in respect of poverty or lack. If you look up the word want here, it will give in this connotation the fact that he's talking about poverty, lack, or slack. He's saying, I'm not uplifting poverty. Because there are some things about Christian folk that they misunderstand. And some folk think that poverty is godliness. Some folk think that poverty is good and it says that you're right with God because you're poor or you're experiencing impoverished means or circumstances at the time. And Paul said, I want to be clear, I'm not speaking in respect of that either. Listen, Jesus made clear, the poor you will have with you always. He never encouraged anybody to be poor. Their circumstances and their situations might have temporarily dictated that, but that was never, ever a part of the gospel. And sad is the believer who thinks that all they need is enough to get by on. Oh, I don't need all of that. Well, it's just going to show you how you've been hoodwinked. It show you how the devil has closed your eyes to the truth. Because here's what you miss. If you never have more than what you need, you can never be the blessing God's called you to be to others and to this world in getting the gospel out. You think about it. When you have just what you need, you are very frugal and watchful over the little bit. Because you know you can't really enjoy it like talking about because you ain't got nothing else. Amen. You don't give liberally in offerings when you just got enough. I got $25 to make it through this week, $5 a day. I already got my offering out. It ain't but $3. And if I go any further than that, that means I'm going to have to cut my lunch money down. So I'm gonna stay right there. I'm good with that. And that's how some folk think, and that's the way they operate. But he was making clear, listen, I'm not supporting poverty, and I'm not begging you for anything. Look at what he says. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, for I have learned. Let's not move too quickly, because he says, I want to share with you, I've been educated. He makes clear here when he says, I have learned. And that's the problem with a whole lot of folk who don't understand the lesson. They have not learned. School is in, but it don't mean that you have gotten what's been taught. I've gone to school in many days, didn't have learning on my mind. And I didn't learn too much that day. I know all of you all did, but I had days like that. I didn't want to go to school, didn't want to be bothered with school. I showed up at school, but that was all it was. Yeah, I had those days. So I want to be real and clear with you. Just because you're in here don't mean you're going to learn the lesson. Sunday after Sunday, God gives his word, speaks what he wants us to know, and we hear. And we let it stay right here and walk out of those doors without the lesson that God intended. But look at what he says. He says, for I have learned. Now, this implies at least three things. He's learned one through education. And that means through the word of God. My brother, my sister, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. See, you're going to have to invest some time in the study of the word. You're going to have to spend some time in searching the scriptures. And
verifying what's being preached is so, and being careful that your devotional time is spent so that God can impart revelation, knowledge through the Holy Ghost. But if you don't do it that way, you miss out on a lot of revelation God would give you for spending time with him. So he's making clear he's at least learned one through education. But there's another way you learn also, and that's through experience. For I have learned through experience. How many of you know experience is a mighty good teacher also? It's expensive sometimes, but it's a good teacher. Yeah, you'll pay more than you want to pay with experience sometimes. It'll take you farther than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay with experience sometimes. And so he's making clear that he has learned through education. Two, he has learned through experience. But there's another way that he has learned. Three, and that's by example of others. Do you know that there are some things you can learn without doing it yourself? You can watch some other folk mess up and make mistakes that you don't have to do yourself to learn from. You can watch folk go the wrong way and mess up and wreck their lives without you having to go and do the same thing to understand that's not the right way to go. Sometimes you can learn by other folks' examples. And all of that gives you what's called a well-rounded education. You see, there are some things, again, that we've got to learn. You don't always have to reinvent the wheel. You don't always have to restart the process. You don't always have to do it your way and be the original and all that. Sometimes you waste time doing that when the way has already been proven. All you've got to do is follow the principles. God will bless you like he's blessed others according to his word if you follow the principles that they followed. And many of us do not do that. And as a result of that, we don't learn. We don't learn through education. We don't learn through experience. Because we repeat the same mistakes over and over and over. And you would think at some point in time, you'd learn from it. Some people just don't get it. You can't get a different result if you do the same thing. Some people keep expecting Christmas to be different and they've never saved up. And so they're hoping that a payday loan will help them out. They're hoping that something will happen miraculous where they'll win the lottery or some other thing where they can have something to make Christmas different. But if you do the same thing, it's going to end up the same way. You start the new year the same way you've been starting the new year. 9 out of 10 times it's going to follow the same course it's been following. Because we've not learned to do things differently. You keep picking the same people with the same personality and the same problems, you're going to have the same kind of people experience. I don't know why I keep picking a zero. I don't know. It just seems like I always end up with this kind. Well, maybe you need to change your standards. Maybe you ought to change what you're looking for. And you'll get something different. But you would think through experience people learn. And they don't. And again, through example. But he says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Amen. Now we hear this and that sounds good. I'm learned. Whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Before you know it, they start complaining. Wait, I just thought you say you learned. Listen. So what this says to me is, and tells us, is that what Paul has learned is a principle that's learnable. Which means that he isn't the only one who can learn and profit from it. Which means that you can learn it also and say, I have learned in whatsoever state I am. This is Paul talking about himself. The question is, can you say that about yourself? I am. I have learned in whatsoever state I am. What? There where? Wherever I am. And with. This has to do with both place and possessions. Amen. There, place. With, possessions. Possession meaning problems or material things that come, or anything that is manifested that you can touch that's tangible. So it doesn't really matter. He's saying, I've learned in whatsoever state I am, wherever there is, and with whatever I have, to be content. Amen. Man, what a difference we would experience in life if we could learn that lesson. What a blessing that would be to our lives if we could learn how to be content. Do you know the reason why many of us have made the mistakes that we've made is because we've learned not how to be content? Amen. Some of us are not even content with what we ask God for. Lord, if you just bless me with this, and God blesses you with that, then you start complaining about this. Start complaining about that because you're not really content with that. Can't get enough. Want more. Not satisfied with this. See somebody else with that, you want that also. Always competing with the Joneses. Listen. You don't know what it costs them to have what they have. Amen. And you see folk looking good and all of that and the rest of that stuff. You don't know the sacrifices they make to have that kind of thing. Amen. Listen, you know, you ought not envy anybody, especially with a God like the God we have. Because what God has blessed you with, he's blessed others with. What he's blessed others with, he'll bless with you with. But you've got to learn to submit yourself to him. If you want it, he'll give it to you if it's good enough for you. No good thing will he withhold from them who walk uprightly before him. So if it's good enough for you and you want it and you align yourself with his word, he'll give it to you. He'll give it to you. But we don't know how to be content with such as we have. And so we get anxious. And we jump out ahead of God. And we do things and we get ourselves in all kinds of situations and fixes. Yes, and we wonder when we look back how we got in this situation. But we didn't consult with God. We didn't ask God, God, is this your will for my life? Yes, I know you want me to have the best, but is this the best time for this? How much different would things be if we learned to operate differently? In other words, if we are in debt right now and we make up our mind, you know what? I'm going to get out of debt. But in order to get out of debt, I'm going to make sure I don't get in any more unnecessary debt. Now, there's necessary debt, and then there's unnecessary debt. Amen. Paying your lights is necessary debt. Amen. Yeah, getting your water running and keeping it running, that's necessary debt. But buying those extra pair of shoes and that extra dress and that extra suit just because, that ain't necessary when you already got more clothes than you can wear. Yeah, you just want another because it's the new style. Because you ain't got this one, or you don't have this one in this color. And ain't nothing wrong with having it. Don't get me wrong. Again, I'm not a proponent of poverty. But what I am saying is there are some things that you've got to change if you want things different. Amen. We get through paying off a bill. Can't enjoy using that money to pay down other bills. We got to go make another bill because that money is lonely in our pocket. Lord, I can't wait to get through paying for this car. Jesus, I've been 5 years paying for this car. Can't wait. Car running good, everything. But you look up, the neighbor done got a new car. You through paying for you. 2 months later, this car just ain't running right. Huh? Get you a paint job. Get your car fixed and tuned up. And enjoy it for another year or two without having to pay another note. Put you some money in the bank, a little something away for a rainy day. You got to live all the way up to your limit. You bring in $1,000, you spend $1,020.
Come on with it, Pastor.
Haven't learned how to be content. And so he says, in whatsoever state I am, there with, in that place that I'm in, with what I have, I'm learning how to be content. Amen. And my brothers and sisters, listen at me. It takes you hearing God, spending time with God, to make a change that will put you in this frame of mind. You see, as long as you are not spending the time with God, investing in the kingdom of God, the enemy will have you investing in his kingdom. Spending time reading magazines and watching mindless television and all of the rest of these things, you're going to spend the time somewhere with someone. It's whether or not you choose to spend that with God. And there you'll find God will make you more content. Sometimes you used to hear the old folks say, your eyes are bigger than your stomach. Anybody ever heard that? Anybody ever experienced that? Yeah, you just keep putting more on than you can handle. Ooh, I thought I could. Yeah. I had to tell... I don't want to, she gets so sensitive sometimes, but I'm going to just tell her. I just tell Sister Montgomery, I was trying to cut down on some of the weight. Don't put all that food on my plate at one time. And I have to say, you know, if I want some more, I'm going to ask you when I get through. But put my food in a saucer size on my plate. I like eating out of plates. I don't like eating out of the saucer. But I like saucer size. Yeah, because I used to eat out of platters. Yeah. And so when she cooks something and it's good, and that's always, I mean, especially when I like something, I say, Sister Montgomery, you know what this tastes like? And she said, what? I say, some more. I said, give me just a little bit more. Why? Because I'm learning that I can't lose weight. I can't get my body in shape if I'm still acting like I was playing football 25, 30 years ago and could eat all of that and was burning all that off. I ain't burning it off quite as fast now. And so, you know, when you get older, things slow down, metabolism included. Yeah, so you got to learn how to work smart. And then they tell me, of course, it's better to eat smaller meals than to eat a few larger meals.
For my way.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast. You can receive today's message by sending $5.